So, welcome to episode 3 of this final Ricky Gervais Show series. With me, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington.
All right.
Have you heard this, thing they're doing? The, schools have got together. They're tired of obesity being a problem in England. It's a big problem in England. Basically everyone's overweight, particularly kids. There's kids that are like, you know, 10 stone going to infant school and stuff and junior school. It's getting ridiculous. And so now the teachers are allowed to weigh the kids. They're going to weigh the kids. Okay. Yeah. Get them in there and go, right, get on the scale. And then they're going to send a letter to the parents saying, please be aware, your child is obese. Now, I don't know what good that's going to do, because a teacher will send a letter to a parent, go, dear Mr. and Mrs. Barnes, we weighed little Johnny today at school, and he's overweight, he's a big fat pig. And they're going to go, yeah, we know, we have to push him out the door to get him to school, he makes a popping sound. We know he's fat, he eats too much. We know he's fat because we have to buy him pairs of trousers every 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we know he's fat because we're a couple of fat bastards
always.
Ourselves.
I love that when they say about our child obese, they show you a picture of a kid and his face is nearly closed up.
Yeah.
It's just closed, right? There's no eyes anymore. He's just got little slits for eyes where his cheeks and his forehead are meeting,
yeah.
Right? And you just go, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you see the parents, they go, well, yeah, we can't do anything. And you go, no, look at you.
Yeah. No, I saw a couple the other day. I saw a dad, giant arse.
Yeah.
And then I was walking behind them and two kids, exactly the same giant arses.
Yeah.
I can't believe that that's
well, just, they eat the same things. You can't.
Yeah. Like a couple of bison it was.
Yeah. If the parents are just eating, they can't say to the kids, you've had enough. They're going,
right.
What fuck? Look at you.
I saw them in Tesco supermarket. You know, they've got like cafes in there now.
Have they?
Big fat family in there. The fact that they're buying food and they're having a break from buying food to eat food.
To eat food, yeah.
Just
well,
sums it up.
It made them a bit peckish, didn't it? I mean, don't forget, that is the only exercise they get, pushing a trolley round. They get home and then they wedge themselves in that three-piece suite and they're watching ITV1 for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And eating cakes and things, microwavable stuff.
Well, they're watching, X Factor, but they're only watching X Factor waiting for the adverts for Pringles.
Exactly,
Domino's
yeah.
Pizza.
Exactly.
That's what they're looking forward to.
They could do that. They could make it a bit harder to shop, couldn't they? If you walk through the door, it goes ding, 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 and you go, go. And for fat people, the shopping moves around a bit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's constantly out, moving away.
It's, yeah, exactly. You're putting it on a string.
Yeah.
Something. You want the pie, and you have to at least get up a bit of a sweat.
Or they're
to
get on
the
conveyor
pie.
Belts, like in a sushi restaurant.
Exactly.
And they just
exactly,
got chased
yeah.
after the oven fried chips.
Unbelievable.
Or is there some kind of cattle grid device that only fat, is there anything that we could put?
Oh, you can only get to
you
this
can only get to the food
if you if can you... get through this.
Right, yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. So the really fattening stuff is through a thin door.
Or just, yeah, or one of those kind of, those sort of, tubes that soldiers, you see, have to crawl through when they're
yeah,
doing their training.
And that's to pies,
right.
to the calorific
section.
Yeah. The shop is full of salads.
Yeah.
You can go around, you can even eat as you go around
yeah,
the salads.
It's like a forest of salads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can graze and you can buy. But if you want to get to the pies and cakes and all that,
yeah.
you've got to get through a little
you've
tube.
Got to crawl through a little tube.
Yeah. yeah. It would just be forever going, dude, fat bloke stuck in aisle 3. They'd have to keep
yeah.
getting them out.
Well, I was stuck behind one on the tube. It got out of the tube, on the escalators. And you know, like on escalators, you're meant to stand to the right so people can get past.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time him standing on the right.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking up the full thing. he had a tracksuit on, like they always do. You know. Never seen a track in its life, that tracksuit. And, so I stayed behind him because he had no option. He saw everyone behind me sort of going, what's the hold up here? Like a convoy of people going, what's at the front? What's happening here? What's that? And it's him sort of blocking it. He gets to the bit, you know, where you have to put your ticket in or your Oyster card and
yeah.
swipe it. He had to go through the bit for trolleys.
Oh, his trolleys and luggage.
Yeah. How embarrassing is
unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable.
But that's
you know
when you know, isn't it? That's when you go, you know what?
Exactly. But I don't think there's enough stigma. I think, because, you know, political correctness now and you know, and the fact that food is so refined, there's no stigma anymore. I laugh about being fat. I should be ashamed. I should walk down the street and go, fatty! That's what I want to get me out of there. I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, I go, oh, you fucking fat bastard.
Yeah.
But no,
I think
know.
I think the same every time I see you.
I know, but look how successful I am.
But you're right.
There should be, you know.
People look up to you, Rick. That's the problem. You're a role model. They've got pictures of you on their wall.
I often get voted role model for people want to be. Now, maybe they don't mean they want to make a successful sitcom and be rich and famous. Maybe they mean I want to eat as much as I want and no one say anything about
it. The number of times I've seen you on one of those, the ideal dinner guest.
I know.
You're not the ideal dinner guest.
Well, firstly,
there'd be nothing else to go round for anyone else.
And I'm always early.
Right.
So by the time anyone, that'd be it. Yeah. Yeah. The ideal dinner guest, as long as he comes halfway through the meal.
Yeah. So and I think they mean, oh, it'd be funny because he'd be very witty and charming. No, he'd just be stuffing his face for 2 hours.
Wouldn't be talking. If there's food there, I'll just listen. I can listen. I mean, I can't really hear because when I chow down, some of it gets in my ears.
Sure, yeah.
I will go deep into a pasta.
Yeah, the face is in the bowl.
I'm actually deaf and blind for 4 minutes that I'm eating.
Yeah.
It's like when a horse bolts.
Yeah.
They can't see or hear anything.
Yeah.
They just bolt. But you know, I don't know what we could do really. I mean,
I think we should be clear here. We're not saying, you know, we don't want to encourage
people. We're not saying fat people are all right, we're saying they're wrong.
Well, yeah, but I want to make
an
important point here,
okay.
Which is that this is an important point.
Okay.
There's a lot of young people, you know, and they don't eat and stuff because they want to try and look like Victoria Beckham and all that stuff.
Oh,
we're not talking about that. We're not talking about just being, you know, respectable size,
no.
You know, a little bit curvy or whatever. You don't got to be like a size zero. We're not talking about that debate.
Definitely not.
We're talking about the crazy obesity that's going on. 5'2", you're weighing 14 stone.
Absolutely.
It's a time to probably stop going to the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
Which is not a competition, incidentally.
But, you know.
It's because, like you said, though, you're not allowed to call them fatty anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when I was at school, if there was a fat kid.
Yeah.
He did get, you know, sort of being picked on that isn't good.
His nickname was Pork Pie or Fatty or Porky.
But he'd sort of be chased and be beaten up, so at least he got a run. Whereas now, kids aren't allowed to pick on little fat kids.
No, I know,
So he's not running anywhere, and it gets worse.
See, is that a good thing? If you pick on a fat kid and steal his lunch money, is that cruel to be kind? Do you know what I mean?
Survival of the fittest again, isn't it?
But I mean, you know, they go, okay, Jobson, you picked on a little fatty again and nicked his lunch money. You go, yeah, I thought he was eating too much and I'm worried about his heart. And I go, oh, well done, Jobson.
Yeah.
Go and pick on some more fat people, nick all their lunch money.
I don't know what the rules are. I mean,
I don't know.
It's all gone crazy.
I mean, I think I'm allowed to call people fat because I'm a bit fat.
You're reclaiming the word.
It's like our black people can say the N-word. I can say the F-word. I can say fatty because I am fat, you know.
It is remarkable. I mean, you've seen pictures of Ricky Shirley Carl in his youth. I mean, you know, kind of David Bowie-like face. You know,
yeah,
very
it's a different person.
Strong. Well, anyone who's ever seen that to me has said, I don't understand. They're just genuinely baffled. I mean, it is weird. It's really... I don't understand, Rick, how you've gone from that. People should look you up on the web and it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't Jane get annoyed? Don't you feel like she's been ripped off?
No! When I was 20.
How did you not notice?
I was 20,
yeah.
And then, and I stayed like that till I was about 29. And then I thought, then I started filling out. Then I was sort of like becoming
a
normal
bloke. I knew you when you were about 36 and you were.
Yeah. Oh, I was already there. No, I'd done the eating years then, boy. No, I went from about. I mean, in those pictures, I was probably like 8.5 stone, too thin.
Yeah.
And then I was like 9. And then. 30, 31, went to 10 stone, and then about a stone a year. I think I was my fattest when, just after.
Yeah.
I'm like 14 stone now.
But it's like, if you look at it on the web or something, compare the two, it's like one of those Weight Watchers before and after, but the wrong way around.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah, so I feel that I can have a go at fat people. I think I can claim the word, I can call fatty. Like, Steve can have a go at, like, you can have a go at bald people, Carl. You can go, oh, look at that round-headed, bald twat. You will never see someone as round-headed and bald as you, and Steve can go, oh, look, Rick, look at that fucking twatish, goggle-eyed freak over there.
No.
How often would that happen?
Hang on. Let's slag Ricky off a bit more, can we, and fattos?
Also, I've got this is how much I've let myself go. Steve, it's finally happened. I want you to test my trousers there. Feel them.
Oh, what is that? That is some
pyjamas.
Are you actually wearing pyjamas?
I'm actually wearing it.
It
happened today.
Of the house.
That's the first time.
Now, was it because of speed you had to get out of the house because you
were
late?
No, I'll tell you why. Right? Okay, the last couple of years, I mean, for the last, I'd say, 10 years, I've been wearing comfortable clothes. I never wear a pair of jeans that are too tight. I don't wear shoes that are it's just comfort for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you see me fidget when I put a suit on for an award ceremony.
Yeah.
I don't like it, okay? Mm-hmm. I never look good in stuff. You see it on the model in the shop window.
Yeah.
Puts it on you. Oh, well, okay. So, that's great. They look like David Beckham. I put it on, I look like a wallet or something. Do you know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
It doesn't look good. I've been wearing, as you know, sweatpants. Right, a drawstring.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a pair of sweatpants recently that are nearly pyjamas. They're so.
What is the distinction at this point?
I don't know.
It's quite a thin line.
They're nearly pyjamas. Today, they're in the wash. So I thought, hold on though, I might as well just wear my pyjamas.
I should point out that it's not a 1950s pair of pyjamas that looks a bit like a suit with a little breast pocket.
No.
And it's, you wouldn't necessarily notice.
No, you wouldn't.
Until you touch them, you realise there's a kind of lycra.
Yeah, they're very sort of nice and thin. They look like a tracksuit bottom, but here's the difference. I've even done away with the drawstring. Look, these are just elasticated. This is the day I really gave up. I used to worry about what I looked like, obviously, when there was a... You know, when there was a nice sort of clothes horse to hang nice clothes on, i.e. my body, you know, I did squeeze into jeans. I did, you know, wear, I was fashionable, but,
Did you go, I can't imagine you going in shops, though, and looking through racks of clothes and, did you do all that stuff?
Steve, I look good in anything, mate. That's the difference.
Right.
Now, doesn't matter. Armani could dress me. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, not that he'd want to. I can't believe I keep getting offered from people like him and designers that call my agent saying, does he want us to dress him for the Emmys?
Do they do pyjamas?
Well, exactly. One, I think, why do they wonder, what is that going to put sales up? Is someone going to be watching that and go, hey, yeah, that bloke looks short and fat and sweaty. Get me Armani on the phone.
But you know, maybe that's someone from the Emmy committee going, can you phone up Ricky Gervais and just check that when they say, can we dress him from the Emmys, we mean, can we make sure he's dressed?
Yeah.
From the Emmys?
Can we tuck him in and leave his slippers at the hotel?
Exactly.
But yeah, so I don't do it anyway because I'm mildly embarrassed. We went around those sort of luxury lounges where they give you things. They give you these, like, suits, like Armani, Hugo Boss. They're just giving you suits.
I haven't heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
When's this going on?
Yeah, before, like, the Emmys, every...
What the fuck? I was out there. No one notified me.
Maybe you didn't get an invite.
What do you mean I didn't get an invite?
The first one I went to, I was mildly embarrassed around. Then I saw, like, Helen Mirren, The Sopranos.
Bloody Helen Mirren's going around there and I'm not...
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's got more money than me. She don't need to go and get free stuff.
She's the queen. She's the richest woman in the world.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, you've missed out, Steve. And they measure you and everything. I've taken...
Piss off. This is insane.
I've taken one suit. And, I think a jacket. But usually what I do is I say I have a pair of sunglasses. I'm like out on John at home. I've got a drawer full of the best sunglasses in the world. One-off editions of these beautiful sunglasses where I'm embarrassed not to take something. They're incredible. They just give you all these things, you know.
I feel like, the kid in, the Pied Piper. Remember when the Pied Piper, as revenge, he takes all the kids to a sort of magical land inside a rock where there's just sweets and fun, but the little lame kid,
he can't
get in there. He's left behind in the rat, formerly rat-infested town.
But he had the last laugh, didn't he? Because he couldn't go and get locked in the cave.
Yeah, but he didn't... They weren't locked. It was a magical land inside the cave. He wanted to be in there.
Was it?
Yes,
or
famously.
Was he a paedophile?
Yeah, but that's got to be... it's got to be better than being stuck in a town with rats and old people. At least you get sweets.
And a puppy. I worried then for a minute. I thought, oh, that's libelous.
What, the
Pied Piper was a paedophile. Like, so excuse me, it's the Pied Piper here. We are,
We represent the Pied Piper.
Yeah. We represent the Pied Fiddler. The Pied Piper. The Pied Piper. I mean, I used to care about fashion.
Mm.
I also had little mistakes. If you're being creative with clothing, not everything's a winner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can't always look good. Even when I thought I looked good in everything.
So what was, just quickly, what's what year are we talking?
Well, obviously student, that's when I sort of did the-
And what was your default look?
New romantic.
Right.
I mean, you know, the first thing I did when I got to college, dyed my hair.
Blousy shirts.
Blousy shirts, but I dyed it black, sometimes military. The military was very big then, so, right. You know, you'd have dyed black hair and a bit of eyeliner, but, you know, maybe look a bit, sort of, you know, gorilla. Then, I got signed, when I was in a pop band, a failed pop band, very quickly. But, you know, I bought designer clothes. But then it all went, okay? So, the poor years, from when I was about, I don't know, 22 to 29 before
that,
I got a job.
4 years, starting 22, you had the high life. You were out by then.
Yeah, and, we lived in that awful little place where I talk about it live, where, you know, there was no toilet, so often I'd wee in the sink.
Sure.
And so.
Great days.
So I thought, well, I didn't have any money at all. And I used to wear a tracksuit all the time then, because I used to run round London. I was on the dole. We had 16 quid between us a week to spend, right? So there was a lot of chili con carne being eaten.
Yes.
And rice, just filling up on rice. And I'd run everywhere. And I was like,
you'd run everywhere?
Yeah, I'd just run. I'd get up and I'd run places. I'd run round the park. I'd run to visit friends who had jobs. I'd run to art galleries. And I'd run London. That was like my job.
But why are you running it? It sounds like it's the life of a smackhead. Are you running everywhere?
I was super fit. In my 20s, I'm not only sort of like thin, but fit as well. I'd run at least 5 to 10 miles a day and work out. I did karate twice a week. Honestly.
Anything but a job.
Anything but a job, yeah, because I was trying to be a pop star and
right.
I told myself, no, I'm an artist.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
possibly get a job. It's bohemian. I just eat rice.
Yeah.
Well, and I was fine. It was absolutely fine. I never thought, oh, this is really annoying. I've got to get a job. I thought, you know, I haven't got a job. I'm doing this. I'm doing a banner.
You were signing on, were you?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't because I hadn't had a job before that. So I think we got our rent paid and then we'd split Jane's money that she earned. We got our rent paid and, you know, we were left with, as I say, I remember it was 16 quid a week and it was the early 80s, isn't it? Mid 80s. So, I didn't get new clothes. So I had some, you know, old ones and, you know, to go to jumble sales. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But I remember once, we're getting new curtains. And, the old ones that were in this flat were like sort of a chintzy, sort of goldish sort of llama with a thread in them, with sort of leafy pattern, very sort of thick.
What kind of late 70s style?
Yeah, exactly. And Jane was gonna took the old ones down. I went, don't throw them away. I'll make a suit out of those.
Yeah, of course.
So sort of Jane just sort of nodded and went, okay. And she went to work.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, okay. Let's have a go. I've never made a suit before, but how hard can it be?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I used to, you know.
That would be my first thought.
I used to make everything. I used to make, I remember, I made shelves once. I found 3 bits of wood in a skip, okay? And I sort of put 2, vertically and put 1 across the top, right? So it was like, you know, a goal post, right? I thought a shelf.
Right.
I'd put a nail in each side. It sort of wobbled. I put it against the wall and it wouldn't stand up. It sort of like leaned, like I made a parallelogram. So what I did, I put another nail in it and I tied a bit of string to it and pulled the string tight. I pulled it across the room and put another nail in the windowsill. And so now there's this shelf that wants to fall over but can't because it's tied to another wall. So that was,
So you spent most of the 80s running around London. And collecting debris and making your home out of it. You sound like a womble.
Yeah, but I wasn't shaped like one until I was 32.
And this is kind of, you were making everything except a living.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. So I thought, right, how do I make a suit? I thought, well, I used to go to the library and learn, I don't know, I can make a suit. You know, I don't want to do it like other people, I do it differently.
So
my method for making this made-to-measure suit, was I got one of the sets of curtains and laid them on the floor.
Right.
I laid down on the curtain and drew round my legs.
Right.
Okay.
Hang on. So you were making the trousers first?
Yeah. So I thought, hold on, that's just one side of the trouser. So I laid down another curtain and drew round my legs again. And I thought, right, I cut those out. So now I've cut out 2 leg-shaped curtain pieces, right? I put them together, sewed them up. Of course, it was nowhere big enough.
Of course
because
not.
I'd left no room, right?
Yeah.
So I tried to squeeze into them. I mean, they look like jodhpurs. They look like tights,
Yeah. Okay?
So I thought, oh, this is really hard, right? I pulled them off again, right? I thought, how am I going to make the jacket? I didn't. I just used one of the curtains as a cape. So I thought, I mean, I look like a gay Hamlet. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? So what I did was,
Did you squeeze into the trousers? You wore the trousers.
I sort of squeezed it. I couldn't wear them, though. Yeah, so what I did was, I rolled it up and shoved it under the chair.
You rolled up what? Sorry,
Did the suit I made. Jane came in about a few days later. She went, "What's that?" So that's where I had to go at the suit. And she pulled it out. And, you know, died laughing. The idea that this man sat down and drew round his legs to make some trousers.
Firstly, why did you not just throw it away? Why did you stash it under the...
I don't know, because I thought...
And you were watching TV on the sofa and she was a foot higher than you. And she thought, what's going on here? And there was a suit stuffed. I mean, why not just throw it away? I don't understand.
I don't know. That's what you do, isn't it? You think, oh... Maybe
what again, we were talking before about the fact that you used to be very thin, and now you're very fat. Mm. And this seems like two different people.
Well, not very fat.
Mm. Well, most people would say you are. Yeah. But,
wearing black.
It seems as though you were also an idiot when you were younger. I mean, like a, because you're a smart man now.
Why
would it not occur to you that you couldn't make your own suit?
Because I've always thought I can do anything. I've always thought I can make a suit. Of course I can make a suit. I'll be brilliant at that. Make a suit. And it took me getting fat to realise the world doesn't lay down to you.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I'll never be fat. I will never be fat. Look at me. You know. So I suppose
As you were getting fatter, that must be the mirror.
No.
James, problem with the mirror.
No, at least I can put eyes on myself as soon as I started getting fat. I started saying I was fat before I was fat.
Yeah.
Because when you've been really thin, you know. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't get anywhere near those curtains now. No. Oh, I couldn't. They wouldn't go past my ankle now.
You kept them?
Yeah, they're under the chair.
Yeah, yeah. You sit, of course, if someone comes to the door and you can't be bothered to reach for your pyjamas, maybe just wrap the curtain around you.
I just pop the curtain around me, yeah. I could probably make a pair of pants out of them. I mean, soon I will be in nappies, which would be easy to make.
Yeah.
So, but when I'm older and Jane goes, just off to work.
Where are those pillowcases?
Doesn't matter. I need changing.
God.
Food's too nice, though, isn't it? That's where the problem is.
Well, yeah, some food.
A lot of food. More food's nice now. I find that I eat because I go, that's nice, rather than I'm hungry.
Oh, that seems to be the problem. I stopped eating when I was hungry, when I was about 29.
Yeah.
I used to, I've got to eat now. I've got other stuff to do. We've got to eat, yeah, shove it in, right? And then I've never only ate because I was hungry for many, many years.
But it's not just that either, is it? Like, we've got mates who've, like, had a kid now. And that's eating stuff. That, seriously, I'm not joking. That is having stuff that I've never had. And it hasn't even got teeth yet. I mean...
What sort of things are you talking about?
Mango. I only had that. I had mango about a year and a half ago. And it's all right. I mean, it's not one of my favourite. Is it fruit?
Yeah.
But there's so much other fruit that's better,
go on.
I think.
What's better than the mango? The banana springs to mind, the strawberry.
Just, I like the ones that you can just go, I'm nipping out, what can I take with me? I'll have an apple.
Well, the banana's the best, because it's got its own little carry case.
Yeah
that's alright, but saying that, you see, this is why we've got more fat people. In supermarkets now, you can buy cut up apple in a bag.
Really?
That's lazy, isn't it? That is lazy.
Well, again, I've got to confess that I have my portions of fruit, first thing in the morning, liquidised.
Yeah.
I have a smoothie, I put all the fruit in there, I drink it. I'm not chewing. You want me to eat fruit, I'm not chewing it.
At the end of the day, food's nice.
Yeah.
There's loads of it.
Mm. Well.
No, there is.
In the Western world, there is,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. But in the Western world, there's not.
Yeah, but this is the whole point, isn't it, about the gluttonous West, is that we are indulging ourselves.
Yeah.
If we were scrabbling around starving, like a third world country, we wouldn't be in that situation.
Well, there's all the...
drinking the fizzy lemonades
and
the Cokes.
Exactly, there's loads of it. And now, every time I buy something, it's a two for one. So you end up buying more than you need, and then Suzanne's always saying, eat this ham, will you? It's going off. I don't even want it.
Why is she buying so much ham?
Because it's two for one offer. We don't need two lots, but the person at the till goes, you know, this is two for one. You go and nip back and get one. And
I know
you get
what you mean,
though.
I mean,
it.
Yeah, they never do half price. They do two for one. Exactly. They did that with the meal once. We were in LA and we had a meal and they said, you know, it's happy hour. It's two for one. So I went, well, can we just have one each? And I went, we've got to give it to you. And they brought two meals for everyone.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That's mad.
I am.
Of course you.
I'll tell you another problem that I've worked out. It might make a slight difference on fat people. Don't put a light in a fridge. Because that's just at night when they get peckish, they can see everything that's in there. Don't put the light there. You don't need a light in a fridge. There's no lights in other cupboards. Yet where there's food, it's like fat is getting up at 4 a.m. What can it have? What's that at the back? Get rid of the light, they'd eat less.
There might be some logic in that.
That's interesting.
Well, what's it there for? Tell me what that light is there for. They say turn off your standby light, yet you've got a light in your fridge.
Well, no, it is
showing you
off.
Where tomatoes
is.
Yeah,
but it's turned off when you shut. The light's not on when the door's not open.
Yes, but a fat person who's always got the fridge door open.
So what are you saying, in a way, is that the free market, capitalism being what it is, which has allowed companies, food manufacturers to make them more full of more salt, more fat, in order to attract you, in order to make more profits, is actually resulting in obesity?
I was in a cafe, right? I normally like to go in there, and I might have beans on toast,
cheese on
cup
top.
Of tea, I might have a bit of cheese.
Yeah, cheddar on top.
Only if they offer, I sometimes sort of think, I shouldn't have it, so I'll only have it if they say you want cheese.
Oh, okay.
And then it's down to their problem. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, they made me have that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm sat in there.
Look how Ricky's glazed over just thinking about cheese on toast now.
I'm sat in there, this little fella, I'd say he was from, like, Africa or something.
Yeah.
Came in, had a little top hat on. Suitcase and red jeans. Dead happy he was. I think he'd just turned up to London. It's his first day out. And he's probably thinking, I can't believe me. Look at the choice here. Anyway, the difference was...
All conjecture.
Yeah.
The difference was, he went in and he said, have you got any porridge? He asked for 2 bowls for the price of one. It was a little bit of a...
A kerfuffle.
Yeah, a little bit, because he couldn't understand why. You've got loads of porridge. Give me 2 portions. But what I found interesting is, he didn't want to go for the donut or the pastry, because in his country they don't have it.
Mm.
So food where he's from is for what food is for, isn't it? Giving you energy.
Yeah.
Here it's not about that, is it?
No.
You go, oh, I'd love a little muffin. So I just found it interesting. That's all my point is that he could have anything. He's come over here. He's in London.
Yeah.
Got loads of stuff on offer. Yeah. He still wanted his porridge.
Do you think firstly, do you think perhaps he had travelled from the past in some kind of time machine? But secondly, do you think that now that he'll have his first taste of a donut, won't he, or a pan of chocolat, do you think you'll get the taste of it next time you see him?
Well, maybe. That's how it works, isn't it? I mean, why do I like...
Hey, next time when they go, hello, usual.
No, shove the porridge. I want a donut.
That's what happens, isn't it? You try one, it's like that the people I'm talking about who's had a kid and always giving it mango, they haven't let it add a burger yet.
It hasn't got any teeth.
Burgers aren't. I don't mean a proper beef one. I mean like a takeaway one that's pretty soft. It's all about a mixture. You need a mixture in your body. You need to have... Like I've said to you before, I get an urge for things that I don't even know about. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Anything. The one that always surprises me are plums. Because I shouldn't get an urge for plums. I don't like them enough, but if I pass them in a supermarket, I go, I want them for a bit. Yeah, I think you need that. And I go mad. I'll eat a full packet in a day. I'll eat like 6 and get bellyache and that. And I know I shouldn't overdo it with them. But it's just like my body...
He's like a creature, isn't he?
My body just calls out for stuff.
It doesn't, Carl.
No, he feels that way because I wouldn't normally buy them. My favourite fruit, I like an apple. Love a banana. Mm. I've got into blackberries.
Yeah.
Quite expensive, but a bit of a treat.
Have people paid money for this podcast? A man just listing his favourite fruits.
Yeah, Graham not included.
But...
Are you a fan of the gooseberry?
Don't know if I've had them.
You've never had a gooseberry?
They're very, very tart.
They are very bizarre.
They're like a green testicle. They've even got the little hair on it. A gooseberry is like a really crispy, plump little berry, but it's very, very,
very sour.
I mean, you've got to have it in pies with sugar and stuff.
I bet my godson's had one. He's only 1 and a half. I bet he's already had a gooseberry, and I've never had one in my life.
Right. He'd never said it before, and he said gooseberry. He decided that's the way to pronounce it.
Gooseberry.
What's that? What's a gooseberry? A gooseberry. Well, okay. I'd never heard it before, but I'm going to say it now, but I'm going to say it my way. Gooseberry.
I've never had one.
I don't
feel like I need another fruit. That's the thing. I think there's plenty of fruit out there. Bananas, apples, oranges. If you get a little bit sick of oranges...
I'm a big fan of the Satsuma. Easy to peel. What I don't like is the big oranges, you have to peel them, you get it on your...
They're the ones I eat when I'm in the bath.
So you just dunk under the water afterwards and you're clean again.
If I'm going to have a bath, then,
yeah.
Yeah, then that's what you do. You
so it's two treats. It's an orange and a bath. I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing to look forward to. Don't you think you've blown that for when you're old, when you're 74? And I go, I tell you what, Carl, lovely treats, a bath and an orange. Done it! I did it when I was 36!
We've got plenty of fruit. They can't get rid of fruit quick enough. There's loads of stuff with fruit in now. Shower gel with kiwi in it. Telling you, they can't get rid of it because it's too much, so they're just going, what can we do with all this stuff? We'll stick it in there. Orange juice. I had orange juice sort of cordial.
Yeah.
Tastes a bit weird, isn't orange? Sneaked a bit of pineapple in. Orange and pineapple. You can't get rid of the stuff.
What's up with that? Talking yesterday to Matt Robinson, the guy I did the film with that you came over and did a part in that we've cut. His dad is a doctor and used to go around the world and stuff. And when he was about 10, he went on holiday, and they were driving through Indonesia to get to somewhere else. I forget where, but they came across this village where he said the spiders have won. Okay, they drive in. As you're driving in, he could see these things sort of hanging from the trees and the sort of telegraph poles. And as they got closer, he realised they were just big spiders. They just made webs everywhere, and he could see them on the street, okay? He said it freaked him out. They parked up in this sort of like the high street, and he said he got out, and they were running on the pavements, like pigeons and rats, just running everywhere. Oh, he said the kids were playing with them. The kids were playing with them. There was no one else freaked out less. He said he ran to the restaurant. They had to stop. He ran into the restaurant, freaked out. He got into the restaurant and there was a tarantula on the floor. And he ran back in the car. And he said later to his dad, was that a dream? And his dad went, no, it's true. You know, it's a real place, right? He was telling me about it. I said, that's the worst place in the world. He was looking it up. He was trying to Google it. And he put in, he can remember the name of this place, Indonesia. And he put in Spider Village, Indonesia, right? And he couldn't find it. But another one came up in Cambodia, and it was there, and it was, he said it was exactly the same, just as bad, a place where just spiders have won, okay, but in this place, they eat them.
They eat the spiders, the local inhabitants eat the spiders?
Yeah.
Wow. So, it's just, this town is just dense with spiders,
it's they're just
everywhere.
Dense, they're just happy there, no one's killing them, no one's doing anything.
Are you just treading on them as you walk down the street?
Yeah, he said that it's just, they've just taken over. There's a place in off Madeira they called Spider Island where no one lives there, but with absolutely no predators, there's just millions of spiders, but no one lives
but
there.
How do you prevent the spiders, you know, when you're sleeping, crawling in, getting in
you
your
don't,
nose
they just they
nostrils.
Just put up with them. I suppose it's that, you know, they're no weirder than any other insect or pest or whatever you call them. It's just, I suppose, because it's, you think of spiders as loners.
Yes.
And they're the top sort of phobia, and it seems weird that they're almost treated like pets. But isn't that a weird place though, that you drive in and it's just, oh hello, welcome to Spider Town.
I couldn't be dealing with it. I mean, my mum wouldn't be that bothered. She's still got that one that's under the telly. She's had that for ages. And my dad threatened her that he was going to kill it because he's sick of it. She's put a bit of Tipex on its back, so she knows.
What?
So she knows.
Well, how many spiders are there? What, you think you'd kill it and then replace it out of guilt? It's not like a budgie.
No, but you can sort of say, oh, I don't know, it's gone. And then if one turns up again, he'll go, your spider's back.
Yeah.
But now she's marked it.
What, so hang on, it
has that's weird.
It has a web underneath the telly?
It's always under the telly, I don't think it bothers with a web.
But what do you mean she keeps a spider under the telly?
It's just there, and she's sort of like, it's not a problem, they get rid of flies, they're not dirty. It
well, it doesn't get
there.
Rid of flies if it sits there watching Coronation Street.
It doesn't
Street.
Do much. Honestly, it can be there in a corner. I don't know what it does. I don't know. He just sits there. But she likes the fact that it's there. It's that thing, innit, of older people like that, don't they? They don't like change. It's like part of the family. You know, all the kids have left home now. She's got this little spider with Tipex on its head.
I like the way that she went to a drawer. She had an idea. She was worried about it. She was worried about her husband killing it. I know. This is for your own good. Good tip, X. Pop that on you.
And you've been round there with the spider that doesn't freak
well,
you
I'm
out?
Going round this weekend, so... But I used to always sit on the floor to watch the telly.
Yeah.
Now it's like I'm not sitting on the floor.
You'd be watching Spider-Man, it would be criticising. Well, that wouldn't happen.
What does your mum think of it? Does she think it's like a little pet, or she doesn't want to get rid of it?
I think it is a pet, because, like, you know, she's had loads of cats, she's had dogs, she's got a budgie, and now my dad's sort of saying, don't get any more pets, because it means we can't go on holiday.
Right.
Spider can look after itself.
I love the idea. Someone say, do you mind coming? We're on holiday for a week. Do you mind coming around with a fly every 2 days? Yeah, I just keep an eye on it. I mean, I thought Spider Island was weird, but keeping a spider under the telly with Tippex on it as a pet.
I was watching a documentary about Nazi Germany and everything, and I just realised that I've felt guilty for quite a while. Because whenever I see a programme about the Nazi plan, I always take a certain solace. Like, I'm slightly smug that I know I'd have been okay because I'm tall and blonde, almost blue-eyed.
Yeah.
Pretty much fully functioning, except the eyes are a bit poor.
The Aryan race.
And that's what they were after, wasn't it? The sort of Superman, the Aryan.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, Steve would have been the Aryan pin-up.
Yeah, I'm like a kind of poster boy Nazi Aryan.
What? You wouldn't have been a pin-up.
No, but, you know, like, they'd have certainly, I'd have been, maybe not on the posters, but I'd certainly have been down the recruitment office.
Really?
Finding people out there to say, we want you to look like this.
So what do you think, so Steve goes, they go, okay, we want someone tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. Someone goes, I know the person. He's not only, he's really tall, he's got really sort of striking eyes and is quite blonde. And they go, get him here. What do you think? He walks in, Hitler sees him, all the generals go,
Hitler would love me.
Do you want everyone to look like this? Thoughts, Carl?
If you turned up, they'd go, hang on a minute, this doesn't match.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
No way.
I am an ideal Nazi.
I think someone would sort of go, hang on, I think there's been a mistake here.
No. That's bollocks. That is absolute nonsense. I guarantee that I would have been one of the most popular Nazis.
Did they stick with that? Did they sort of, was that the rule? Or did they see someone like you and go, hang on, we need a lot more on this list because I've just seen some out there that ticks all the boxes and it's a little bit off.
No. Well, do you know what? You can laugh, but what would they have made of you? You'd have been straight against the wall, mate.
No, but I'd have been all right, because but Hitler was a bit like me, wasn't he?
Yeah, you'd have been like a slightly
5'8", dark hair. I mean, he made me laugh, Hitler.
Doesn't make many people laugh, but...
No, I know, but do you know what I mean? He's going, oh, we've got to be blonde. I go, hold on, whoa, Adolf, take a look at yourself, son. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he was aspiring to something more like me.
Well, at least dye your hair. Why didn't you just at least peroxide it? If I said, Hitler, we got to do this image, right, because people are laughing at you, because you're going around saying you want tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed fellas, and you're a little short, brown-eyed, black-haired fella. Right, first of all, okay, put these contact lenses in. Little blue contacts. Oh, look at that, your eyes pop. Lovely. Okay. Let's dye your hair, peroxide that, maybe, you know, like Dave Sylvian, give him a little quiff. Okay? Now,
some
right?
build-ups in his shoes.
Yeah, some Cuban heels, some high heels. Right, now go out there. Now go out there.
That would have been an extraordinary look if that was the man that we knew and feared, giving those speeches. Peroxide hair,
yeah.
Cuban heels.
I'd have
found Anne Frank in a second, just passing by.
Oh, yeah.
Here in the top window, in the attic window.
He would have had to, yeah, he'd have gone, lads, don't bother going inside. Go and look at this, get a ladder. Here she is.
Type in.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, Carl. I'm just saying that, you know, one can have these guilty thoughts.
Only those things that I said where I get an urge to slap a kid or something.
When did this happen?
There's just little things like that. The other day I was in the park and there was a goose just sat on the edge of the pond and I just wanted to run up and kick it. It's because you're not allowed and it's there and it's almost like going, come on. You just want to give it a little boot. And the same with babies, sometimes you just want to slap their head. Not hard.
Oh, God!
But I'd say that's the weird thing.
Ricky has that impulse when he sees you.
And I don't have anything where I sort of, want to be German or something. That's too...
I'm not saying I want to be German. I'm saying I feel guilty because when I see those things, I think, oh, I'd have been okay.
Yeah. What would you have done, though? Do you reckon you'd have helped out, or you'd have kept quiet, just done your bit?
I'd like to think I'd be one of those people who would have pointed and said, no, you can't be doing this, this is out of order, but I know in my heart I probably would have just kept stum. Because I, you know, I'd have liked the...
Oh, he's already talking German.
I'd like the uniforms. I'd have just kept my head down.
Well, you might have had to survive. Well,
I just think, I think I'm living in the best time for me. I think if it was about, you know, ages ago or something, it wouldn't have been right. I think I've just been lucky.
But if you were in one of those situations, whether it be Nazi Germany or anywhere else, where you see oppression going on, horrors, would you stand up and fight for justice, put your own neck on the line, or would you just keep quiet?
What do you mean, keep your neck? What do you mean?
Well, this is, you know, this is the thing. For instance,
if I knew Anne Frank was in my loft.
Well, yeah.
Perfect.
Would you
if you knew Anne Frank was in your loft, and your dad came in and went, right, whatever you do, don't harbour any Jewish people. The Nazis are, right. Also, they're looking for spiders under tellies. Your mum, you and your mum sort of looked at each other. So, what would you do? You met a little German fella. Ah, young Carl. It's a little round-headed fella.
No, I'd probably just go, no, I don't know. I don't know who's up there.
Well, we are checking, and if we find her, then you...
Well, that's a ridiculous rule.
Well, what do you think, though? Of course it was a threat of death. If you harboured someone, that was why it was so heroic.
Well,
people
hang on,
people.
Could we just have this conversation played out, please, Rick? You're the German.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, what's the problem?
You're losing your hair. You're stressed.
A little bit, yeah. It's hard times.
Right. You're not hiding anything from me, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. No one... When you're asleep at night, do you hear as the creaks of anyone upstairs?
I'm quite a sort of, once I get to sleep, because my restless legs and that, I'm normally pretty tired, so I'm out like a light.
If I came round, could I look in the attic, and if I find anyone...
So, yeah, I've got to go out, I mean...
Well, I tell you now, if I go on and find someone, I will kill you.
Well, I don't know if anyone's up there. I wouldn't say it's his job, I'd say you go and have a look.
Yeah, but don't say that, you're meant to be protecting her.
Just say,
no, you've got to get him off the set. You've
got
to say, no, she's not there, I just checked, don't worry about that. Listen, I wouldn't lie to you. You'd say...
But this is the point, Carl. Are you willing to put your life on the line for someone else? And I think fundamentally,
Not for her.
Why not for her? She's got her whole life to live. She's a talent, she's writing. You're not doing anything. What are you doing? Staring at her?
She's innocent. More like she's innocent.
I'd say Anne. I'd go up. Anne. Yeah. Listen, they've been again. I think you should move out, because this is sort of dragging... It's stressing me out. They keep knocking, and I'm going to get dragged down with you. So can you move out of the loft now? You've been here a few weeks.
But that's
It's no sort of life, Anne. You've been up here. You might as well be some sort of moth. There's no light. You're sat there writing. So I don't know what you're writing. You've been up here for weeks. What are you writing about? I've kept a diary, and it's a bit of a struggle. You haven't been out. So can you just move, please?
That's what you do, is it?
But... I don't know how much you're meant to do.
But this is the point, isn't it, Carl? It's about what are you willing to do? People, during that time, protected people at their own expense, at their own personal risk. They went through, they lied, they got food, they forged documents for them, they tried to sneak them out of the country, they did incredible acts of heroism to help other people.
And you're doing nothing.
You're going to kick her out on the
street. You're adding to it.
All I'm saying is, I'd say, Anne, I think they think you're up here now. I think it's best if you move on.
I don't think you'd have even welcomed her in the first place.
I can't leave here. Well, I tell you what, I think he's finding something a bit suspicious and he's going to come up. So I have warned you, Anne, don't moan. I'd leave her to it. And then if he turned up again, I'd go and have a look.
Well, no, because then you'll still get done.
I won't get done.
You are, you've harboured her now, you're in trouble. So either go through with it and protect her or stitch her up and get yourself out of. What are you going to do?
I'd say, right, Anne. Listen.
Go on. You've had one conversation. She's not listening to you. She's busy. She's writing.
Anne.
How are you getting up there?
It's just a little, what's it, ladder? What are they called?
A loft ladder.
Yeah, a loft ladder thing. I go up there, give it a bang.
Right.
Hang on a minute, she says, stop her writing. What do you want? Well, what?
Are you dagger? Carl, what are you doing?
I go, I'm talking to Anne.
Who?
Anne Frank.
Who's Anne Frank?
The woman in the loft.
Well, what, you're not harbouring Jewish people, are you?
I don't know what she is. She's just up there all the time. I didn't know she was Jewish.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
know
she was Jewish, you know. I just sort of, she'd just be there. I'm talking about my mum and, it's my mum and dad's house.
Yeah.
I'm younger.
Yeah.
There's a woman in the loft. It's just the norm.
Right.
It's just the norm.
Right.
Well, it must have been, with all the Jewish people around.
How's she
everyone
getting
must
fed?
Have had a Jew in the loft.
Who's... But
you're getting it last.
Oh, yes.
What's interesting though is that you've deliberately massaged this now to absolve yourself of responsibility. Suddenly you've made yourself a kid and it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
We are asking you, the adult Carl Pilkington.
They all said that.
Adult Carl Pilkington, are you willing to put your neck on the line? And you're
right.
Not. You're a
Suzanne least... brings home someone and go, right, they're being persecuted, they're after, right? The mob. Okay, forget it, not that's right. Someone's after, right? They've just put out, I said, look, we've got to hide her. If they find her, they kill all three of us. Right, can we hide her here, Carl? Otherwise she's got nowhere to go. Let's at least take the risk.
Well, let's set some rules.
Go on then. Right.
How long are you going to be in the loft for?
It might be a year.
It's a long time, that.
I know, but quick, they're coming, they're coming.
Where have you been?
Quick, in here, right? Right, Carl, do you answer the door and go, she's in here, boys, or do you go...
Just stick her in the loft a minute.
Okay, she's in the loft, okay.
Hello.
Hi. I'm gonna kill you and your girlfriend, okay, unless you tell me now,
yeah.
Is there someone in your loft, yes or no?
Not that I know of.
I'm gonna check in a minute.
Wait a minute, what do you mean not that you- I'm another one. Okay. When you say not that you know of, I am gonna go and check in the loft. Are you happy for me to check in the loft?
I can't stop you, can I?
Oh, whoa, we want a yes or no, son. Right.
Well, what if I said no, what would happen?
Well, we would storm in, and if we found anyone up there, we would presume you knew they were up there, and we would shoot you.
Seems a bit unreasonable. So what I'd say is, it's weird you mention that, because there has been a bit of banging about in the loft, but I think it's coming from next doors. Have you been next door yet?
No, we haven't.
You got to go around there.
All right, mate. Cheers, mate.
No problem. Right.
No.
Shut the door. And then that'd be that. I mean, it's...
Well, it seems
they
quite
make
simple,
it seem,
actually.
Yeah, they make it seem worse back then, but that's what age does to things, isn't it? People add bits on and all that.
So what do you think the closer truth to the story is?
I mean, it's just a woman. She did a diary and she bummed about in people's lofts without paying for stuff. It's like what do you call them? What do you call them when you get people living in
squatters.
Houses? Yeah, she's basically just a squatter with a diary.
Unbelievable.
That is the worst
ill-informed thing I've ever
heard anyone say. Unbelievable. Carl, we've been doing this for a long time and we're struggling for stuff. We ripped off Room 101 last week, called it Room 102. You've done Rockbusters.
No one saw through that.
No, exactly, yeah. So, have you heard Desert Island Discs?
Yeah.
Good, let's do that. Right, forget the 8 records, we can't play them anyway. We can't play them anyway.
I know, but for people who are listening in other countries, they may not be familiar with Desert Island Discs.
Oh, it's a programme, it's a real national institution here. They get, prime ministers and leaders of men and really eminent people to go on, and you talk about your life, and you choose your 8 favourite tunes, you take a luxury item, and you're allowed... to take any book. I did it. I was very privileged and honoured and very flattered to be asked to do it myself last year. Apparently, they said, what book would you take? And she went, you get the Bible. I went, well, good. I want you to take toilet paper then. And I took a book, I think a tabletop book of art.
Why would you take that?
You can't take anything that's useful. It's just, it's and your luxury item, you can't. I took a vat of Novocaine. I thought if I get toothache, I'm sipping on that till I die. If I'm stuck here with nothing to do, I've got 8 records, I'm gonna be sick of them.
That's the thing.
I'm looking at art, at least I'm looking at something,
What book would you take, though?
Well, I wouldn't take an art book anyway, I know that.
Right, okay,
because
so come on
you're
in,
get
one
sick
book.
Of it. You're gonna get sick of it.
Right, one book. You can't get sick of art either.
You can. You can have a brilliant picture on your wall, but eventually, remember what I've said to you, your eyes get bored of anything.
I don't remember him saying that. I think I blanked out. I think he came in one ear, straight out the other.
Well, that's why relationships break up, isn't it? Because the eyes get sick of looking at that other person, and you go, my eyes want to change. That's what it's all about.
My eyes want to change. Okay,
sorry, love.
Fucking hell, choose a book to
take. I'd probably take a dictionary or something
like that. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Why?
Why would you take a dictionary?
Just because I'm not that good with words.
But why do you want words for? You're not talking to anyone anymore. You don't have to worry about the vocabulary. You have to worry about, oh,
but
Beatles
there'll be a lot
and...
of talking to yourself, probably. It'd be nice to sort of
Oh, so you're going to bring yourself up on your grammar, are they? You're talking to yourself and you go, oh, Carl, you're an idiot. You don't say it like that. That's
well, if you've got to talk to yourself, it'd be nice to have
Why are you
someone...
talking to yourself, you maniac?
Because there's no one else about.
Yeah, but you don't open your mouth and actually verbally talk in order to talk.
But also, what does it matter if you've got a dictionary or not? Who's arguing with who?
Because sometimes I feel frustrated when I can't get my point across.
But it's just you!
Exactly,
you
already that's know more your annoying. Point. So, that's how you're getting annoyed now. You're annoyed with me because I can't explain what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't want to be annoying myself.
Why would you be annoying yourself?
But you'll already understand your point. You don't need to vocalise it.
No, sometimes I think through what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think, does that make sense? And sometimes I'll go, no, it doesn't. And I'll go, why is that? And then you're working it out in your head. Now, if I've got a better vocab, I'll have a good little chat.
What? With yourself.
Carl, you already
on
understand.
A desert island. You've got there, you're not reading the Bible, you get a dictionary out. So you get a better vocab so you can have a decent chat with yourself. What are you saying?
It becomes a point, if you're not keeping yourself interested in anything, your brain's going to turn to mush. Now, I'm...
I know how you feel.
I'm teaching my brain stuff, keeping it active.
Mm.
The only thing you've got on that island is your imagination and your thoughts. Now, if you can make those imaginations and thoughts better, which you do with language, you're going to have a better time, aren't you?
Well, no, a thought is never restricted in your own brain by vocabulary, is it?
Of course it is.
No, well, no, if you've had the thought, you've had the thought. You don't go, hold on, I'd have a thought here, but I can't think of the word.
You don't think in language in that same way, do you, really? You think more conceptually.
When someone came up, guess what? I've just found the cure for... Oh, I can't think of the word.
What?
I've just worked out the cure for, eh? I can't think of the word. Let's look it up. What is it? Cancer.
No, but just to think... Language is a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he's run out of words.
You see, this is what I'm saying. It's sometimes difficult for me to get my point across with what I mean.
Yeah, but that's fair enough if you're communicating, say, in this environment, and it's, dare I say it, perhaps a shame that you didn't read a dictionary before we started doing the podcast and all the broadcasting. But anyway, you've waited here on a desert island with no other fucker around.
Well, no. Well, I think by then, well, by the time you get shipwrecked, there would probably be a few more entries to the dictionary. Grippage. Foodage. Rummaging. Replemishing.
But so what? All words are made up. Orange. One day someone went, what?
He's got a head. That's got a head like something.
He's got a head of what? He's got a head like a fucking what?
I don't even know what.
He's got a head like a fucking what?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Let's make up a word. It looks like an orange. Like a fucking rainbow orange.
No, orange. And the other thing is, say if I am captured.
By who?
Who?
What?
By who?
By a boat. That's passing.
Why are you captured? You mean saved?
All right, saved then, yeah.
Okay.
If I'm there you go again, you see. I went for captured instead of saved.
You're captured by some pirates.
Talking to anyone, Carl, in your head. It didn't matter. You knew what you meant. When you sat there on that desert island, you thought, oh, if I'm captured by a boat. They didn't come over and go, hi, Carl, we've come to save you. You wouldn't go, well, no, I don't want saving, I want capturing. I go, right, sorry, wait for the next boat. It didn't matter. You knew what you meant. You'd go, help, and you'd get on the boat.
Do you think in words that you don't use?
Unless you're specifically thinking about something you're going to say, maybe because we're doing some writing or whatever, we're not thinking in words, are you? You don't wander around thinking, ah, today I feel so, oh, I don't know what the word is.
Extremely.
You know, you just feel, experience, you think, you're not thinking logically about words and sentence structure and all those other things. You don't, that's not how you operate. So if you're on a desert island having these arguments
with
yourself, unless you're schizophrenic.
You've only got yourself for company.
Yes, but
if you bore yourself, what's the point? What is the point, seriously?
But how are you going to... What, so you think you're going to read that dictionary and you're going to be better company? Because you're going to be impressing yourself with longer words. You're going to go...
Well, why do people use big words?
Because they can.
But also, to impress themselves. I bet they slip their words in.
To impress themselves, impress others.
If a boat passes and they go, there's a fella over there on the island, let's go and get him. Now, the way I am at the moment, they'd go, you all right? And I'd go, you what? And they'd go, oh, don't stop. Where?
Imagine that!
Whereas if I sort of say something with a big word that I can't think of right now, They'll go, oh, who's that? He sounds like he knows his
Yoo-hoo! Stuff. Anti-disestablishmentarianism!
Get him on this boat now!
We must have that wit!
All right, you get...
come through.
But then I'm on the news and they go, oh, Carl, what was it like on the island? And I can start saying stuff.
It was scrambarious!
No, but then I think it makes it more interesting, whereas at this moment in time, I'd struggle telling them what it's like.
I like the idea of you trying to educate
yourself.
I love
the idea.
But do it now!
Because there's so many other books. If I'm stuck with one...
Okay, the dictionary. You've got a dictionary. Fine. What's your luxury item? What's your luxury item? Quick. Let's get off this island. Come on.
What did you take for your luxury?
A vat of Novocaine.
Oh, yeah. Some Revels. A big sort of bag.
Big bag of Revels.
A big bag of Revels.
Just for variety.
Well, there's no variety particularly in Revels. They're all chocolate, aren't they?
No, all different. You've got orange ones, you've got coffee, caramel, Malteser.
That's it. That's your luxury.
Sorry, is this podcast sponsored by Revels?
I mean, taking Novocaine isn't great, is it? If you don't get toothache, you'll be going, why don't they bring Revels?
Thank you for listening. I mean, you are martyrs, saints and martyrs, to have listened to this all these years. So that's it from us. Why don't you start again? Go back to the beginning and listen to all of them. The back catalogue, 5 series.
See if you can find one wise word from Carl Pilkington.
And if you're listening to this in the future, I tell you what, the world's gone downhill.
No, it'll just be different. I don't think it'll go downhill. It's just going to change, and things are going to be different. We've talked about fat people. Is that a bad thing? Mammoths were fat, weren't they?
Yeah.
Then they died out. Then you get the Ice Age. And then this has happened. It's all going to happen again. That's what's going to happen.
Brilliant. You just decided that now.
Well, that's what happens, isn't it? A weed grows out of a crack. Put weed killer on it. 2 weeks later, it's back again. That's what the world's like, a big weed. We're just a weed in the universe.
Good night, everybody.